The scripture reading that was shared earlier by Casey, it's a beautiful scripture reading. Many of us know it from a 60s song by the Byrds, Turn, 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 so you can reinterpret it that way. Two little girls were standing by a duck pond at a miniature, or as they say in North Carolina, a miniature pool and zoo. One of them said impatiently to the other, "Come on, we're wasting time. Let's move along." The other girl replied, "I'm not wasting time, I'm watching the ducks." William Shakespeare has a great line in one of his plays, "I wasted time, and now doth time waste me." Do we waste time, or does time waste us? Do we use time, or does time use us? Ecclesiastes, "For everything there is a season, time for every matter under heaven." And consider the reading from Luke's Gospel. It's a varied rendering of the material from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. "Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place now to store my crops.' And then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, the body is more than clothing.'" In what has become known as the parable of the rich man, another title, by the way, might be the parable of the hoarder, Jesus speaks specifically to one whose entire life is consumed with money and material things, with the acquisition of more stuff, and its relevant application for us today might be to ask of ourselves a few questions. What am I doing with my time in this vain life given to me under the sun? What's this life of mine all about? You could add Alfie in there. After filling my personal storage locker with money and possessions, how will I ever absolutely know that I have enough stuff? Some have misread the parable, as is true with misinterpretation regarding a similar reading from the sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. "Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious all by itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day." Now, note that these readings are directed to those who like to be sometimes controlling, want to control everything in life, possibly also to control others through material acquisition. These are people who are consumed by consuming, the ultimate consumer. There can be no ultimate security because of a certain dread of what essentially comes to us all, an end to all security, an end to life itself. This was the manipulation of the Roman Church just prior to the time of Martin Luther in selling indulgences, which were essentially securities, guaranteeing eternal life with God for those with enough money to pay the price. The more money you had, the better your chances to get this magic ticket, this Willy Wonka ticket. Here is the ultimate bargain between the rich merchants and the wealthy religious hierarchy. What we find in Matthew and Luke directs us to the wisdom of insecurity and away from being consumed by acquisition and consumption. Whether in this life or in the next, there is more to living than getting a fat paycheck, buying a fancy car or house, as well as acquiring more and more stuff. All that does for a person is to pay the security company to protect the car and the house and the stuff. We haven't even done that yet. So then, what is life all about, and is there any wisdom in insecurity? That's a phrase, by the way, from a book by Alan Watts. Judy was here last week. Judy Coffey presented a marvelous sermon. I heard it was all about wine. Is that right? And lots and lots of wine. There just keeps on flowing, I guess, doesn't it? Where does it all come from? Well, it seems to come not necessarily from those you would expect, but it's always about as they went, they were healed. As they went, more wine somehow came along. When wine runs out, there is always provision for something more. Like Penny Bailey's, right? We were at a retreat this past weekend, and apparently somebody brought a bottle of wine or something, but it disappeared. But we had Penny. And she saved the day, I guess. But this wonderful retreat, a trustee's retreat at the Ketchikan Center, which isn't that far away. Oh, Laura, who was there, not Laura Porter, I'm sorry, Laura, but that Laura Jacobson, who works there, and just laid out the red carpet for us. It was my first time there. And what a delightful experience that was, retreating with the trustees. My experience, whenever I hear the trustees, it's usually to hide. I didn't have to do that. We were treated equally, ministers and trustees alike. It's just an incredible feeling. It seems to be January, the time for these types of retreats, because when Judy was here, I wasn't, obviously, but I was on retreat. It's been my practice over the years in January to attend a Michigan Conference Congregational Clergy Retreat at the St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt, where we find rest and refreshment in worship and in prayer, as well as opportunities to catch up on scuttlebutt and gossip. Ministers are horrible at gossip. While listening to each other's stories and parables. Typically, there are three leaders, but only one showed up for the retreat. Of the absent leaders, one sustained a leg injury, while the other was hospitalized after a heart attack. These clergy get-togethers, they're intended to sustain us through times of anxiety that might lead to health issues, which is especially significant for our group of aging congregational clergy. Some might consider these retreats a terrible waste of time and energy. Our worthy leader, Don Mullen, provided plenty of discussion for us to exchange ideas, to sustain healthy congregations, but also time to nurture and therefore sustain healthy clergy. of special significance, it was recommended that each of us take the time to find and establish an ongoing relationship with a spiritual director. Spiritual direction. How many of you have heard of spiritual direction? Wonderful. Because spiritual direction is actually an activity or something that has been taking place in the Catholic community for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we in the Protestant community are just beginning to catch up. Not all of us, obviously. Many of you have already done so. We should meet regularly with a spiritual director who can be someone we know quite well or someone we don't. He or she should be a worthy listener as well as a sage who guides us to find answers within ourselves as well as unearthing further questions. While one may not discover the meaning of life, it should ultimately help one carve out a life of meaning. So back to that question about the two little girls observing the ducks. One wants to stay while the other wants to move along and see what else is happening in the children's zoo. It appears to me that a spiritual director would say that both are correct, even though they have different uses of their time. Watching the ducks may seem like a waste of time to one person, but to another, a hunter, a writer, a philosopher, a minister, a teacher, a scientist, a little girl, it can be a time of great worth, a time to smell the roses, a time to breathe in and to breathe out. Relax, recreate. Simultaneously, the other girl is on a journey to experience the whole zoo, as they say, whatever floats your boat. The point of the parable Jesus shared isn't use of time, but waste of time. Can we ever be completely secure when it comes to our stuff? And when is enough enough? At the heart of the parable is a lesson which tells us to stop our lives for a minute amidst the hustle and bustle, ask what exactly we're doing with our time, and see if we're really occupied with things that matter most. One of the things in the book we read over our trustees retreat, Real Good Church, it focused on the Gospel of Luke, and mainly Luke's Gospel is a gospel talks about the special option for the poor, the preferential option for the poor. So he is constantly looking at the moneyed people saying, let us share, let us share, let us share. What is it that matters most? Is it a standard of living? Standard of life? Which one? Because they're two different things. We've been taught several important lessons. Self-denial today can lead to self-fulfillment tomorrow. Slow and steady wins the race. Pay yourself first. All good things come to those who wait. Throughout my life, I've heard many, many financial recommendations, typically at religious seminars. Delay your gratification, invest wisely, create an emergency fund, dollar cost average, diversify, and of course, rebalance. I don't think these are biblical mandates, but religious professionals make them sound like these are indisputable, sacred sayings right out of the mouth of Jesus. A comic strip in the paper says this, in a very interesting way. It shows a man with large eyes standing in the middle of a living room mumbling, oh boy, only 359 more days until the Super Bowl. We don't have to wait that long, do we? How many days? Seven, right? And yet the psalmist says, today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Early on in my life as a minister in training, there was a hard lesson about delayed gratification. Working as a chaplain in the Memorial Hospital in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I was assigned to a 68-year-old United Methodist minister who had just retired and soon after had a massive heart attack, landing him in the hospital. His wife, Dorothy, said to me that they had waited all these years for the cruise to Hawaii, and here they were in the hospital instead. Their trip was delayed. Back in 1978, when this incident occurred, open-heart surgery was very risky, and sadly, this newly retired minister didn't make it through that operation. When the physician broke the news to us, his wife, Dorothy, said to me through her tears, "Don't ever make that mistake. Of course you must serve your congregation, John, but never forget to serve your family or to serve yourself as well." Now, not all of us necessarily are big fans of Dale Carnegie. My parents were. He did have some nuggets of wisdom in his writings, and he said, "One of the most tragic things I know about human nature is that all of us tend to put off living. We are all dreaming of some magical rose garden over the horizon instead of enjoying the roses that are blooming outside our window today." And the psychiatrist, the death and dying counselor, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, said this is perhaps the greatest lesson we learn from our patients. Live so you do not have to look back and say, "How I wasted my life." And a popular singer puts it this way, "I still don't understand it. If we don't have any time for ourselves, any time to be with our families, or to fish, or to hunt, or simply to help other people, well, is that really success?" The fact is that people get their priorities and their values mixed up, and as a result, outward success turns into deep inward dissatisfaction. It's not really about success at all, but more about what we value the most, our family, our friends, our church, opportunities to help others. When is the best time to get around to that which is most important, creating a life of meaning? Once again, today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in this day. The time of our lives is valuable. We can find out the easy way by sitting at a delayed appointment at the physician's office or waiting for the tow truck coming to pull us out of the ditch. And incidentally, when was the last time you had to wait in line to get a pew here at our church? We can find out the hard way by looking back at a loved one who deserved more time than we wanted or were willing to give. And so two girls stopped at the duck pond at the zoo, and one said impatiently, "Come on, let's go, we're wasting time." The other said, "I'm not wasting time, I'm watching the ducks." How many of us are watching the ducks? How many of us are moving on to see the rest of the zoo? These are two different children, two different viewpoints, and in principle, each perspective is the right one. Which one are you? Especially when it comes to our church. Just think of the opportunities to use our time singing with the choir, teaching Sunday school, providing a children's message, serving on a committee in our church, cooking, dishing out food after worship, assisting as a sexton or usher greeter, liturgist, preacher, sending cards, visiting people who are hospitalized or in nursing facilities like Curry House or Lakeview, or seeing any need and filling that need. Which one of us using any of these tasks considers time wasted or time used in the service of others? Maybe today is a good opportunity to re-examine how and where we distribute our time commitments. As Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, life is more than food, the body more than clothes. There's also food for the spirit. There's also clothing for the soul. As we find rest and refreshment for ourselves today, we will be better equipped to help heal the broken hearts and make gentle the bruised world. Rather than worry about yesterday or tomorrow, we can use our time today and make our lives into a symphony of love. That should be the end, but I have one final confession to make. I have to say this. While intending to stay the weekend in DeWitt, I was first rejected and then ejected from housing at St. Francis due to a number of reserved spiritual director retreats and a Diocese of Lansing Catholic men's group. They were meeting over the weekend. I tried to sneak in. It didn't work. Where would I stay? What would I do? Time was well spent, however, in a father-son retreat. It took place over the last weekend in Grand Rapids. Each night was a night of complete rest, and each day was a day of complete refreshment, enjoying breakfasts, lunches, dinners, and non-anxious and spiritually calming, cleansing movies like The Revenant and saw another one, Mad Max Fury Road. Wonderful movie. Makes you fall asleep. Best of all, I discovered who my true spiritual director is. My own son.